But we can't go into it now, so let's just try to summarize a little.
So one of the issues is paper. So if you look at paper, that's the discussion in the Pesach Tshuvos of Katan Yud Ches. What?
Let's see.
Dvarim shenechlechu legaban ha'em mekadmim tumah. So one is toilet is for sure not mekabel tumah. That is b'chokra, all of our normal toilets, right? We have the porta potties, etc. Question is, what about the water in the toilet? This is a machlokas, and we paskin that they're not mekabel tumah. Water is plural, like this in Hebrew.
So we're makel on the water in the toilet bowl. That is a very nogel maisa, very relevant kula. Another issue is paper. Paper is discussed in the Pesach Tshuvos. We've got Yud Ches. I think it's Yud Ches. Let's see. I am Benoda Behuda, who says our paper is Mekavel Ksamim Delogara Mi Livadim. What are levadim? What's levad? Levad? Felt. Anyone know what felt is? Felt is what you make black hats out of. And probably some other things, but I'm not sure what. How do you make felt? It's not a woven garment. You don't weave a black hat. But what do? You take, I'm not an expert, but somehow you take like the fibers, you wet them, you like smush them together so like they curl around each other on a very small microscopic level. And then you dry them out and press them. And they become this hard thing. That is called felt. And the Gemara says that felt is considered a beged mekabel tumah. Felt is mekabel tumah because it is woven. Now, it's not woven, because the equivalent to a beged is mekabel tumah. So, he says, how is paper made? The way you make paper is you take the pulp, the different fibers, and you basically like press them together and dry them out so they become a paper. He says, not like paper in the old days. Paper in the old days was just smoothed out leaves. But now our modern day paper is made in a way similar to the process of making felt, and therefore it's mekabel tumah, meaning that even though it's a kli eitz that's not a base kibble, it's a kli eitz, it's a flat kli eitz, so it shouldn't be mekabel tumah. However, since it's made in the way of a garment, I understand it's not clothing. But it doesn't have to be clothing to be a garment. Since it's made in the way of a felt, since it's a type of felt, therefore says the Nod Yehuda that it is mekabel tumah, and that's the Nod Yehuda in Sifkatan Yud Ches at the very beginning, va'ayin, etc. You got a big machlokas. Is it like felt? Is it not? If girl felt is made out of little fibers, this is made with much more processing. It's a big machlokas achronim whether paper is mekabel tumah or not mekabel tumah.
My name is toilet paper.
Paper is all the same. L'chora. Now, what does Rav Moshe say? If you want to look up the Igros Moshe, it is Yordei Chelik Gimel Simen Nun Gimel or Chelik Dalid Simen Yud Zayin. If you dalid, I'll put this on page. So here we have paper is a machlokes achronim. We're not going to go through all the lumbus back and forth, but it's certainly a big sheet of the Nod Yehuda and many achronim that it's mekabel tumah. However, says Rav Moshe, Chelik Gimel Simen Nun Gimel, as well as Chelik Dalid Simen Yud Zayin, Chelik Dalid Simen Yud Zayin. Are the tshuvas, the many little tshuvas he wrote to all the questions Rabbi Eider asked him when Rabbi Eider was preparing his book, Halachos of Nida. So it's printed in the Igros Moshe a little later, but it was written much earlier. Rav Moshe says in those two places a big chiddush, but a very logical chiddush, which most poskim agree with nowadays. He says the machlokes achronim, where the Nod Yehuda's machron on paper, that was talking about paper, which is a real kli. What's a real kli? A kli is something you can use again and again. Like, for example, this paper, right? I write on it, and then I read it, and I keep it for many years. You know, I bring this paper to shear for for over a decade, right? You make paper into a book, into whatever. You know, many paper things are real permanent kalim. But Moshe says, that's what the Nodi Yehuda was talking about. He wasn't talking about tissues and toilet paper. Tissues and toilet paper, avada, are not kalim, because they're disposable. You use them once, you throw them out. Not only that, Ezra Moshe, Davka, the Shaila is if it gets a stain on it, a kesem. If it gets a kesem, of course you throw it out, it's not good anymore, right? No one takes a piece of tissue or toilet paper with a stain on it and says, okay, let me like save it to use later. So it's not a kli. Similar to the whole discussion of, right, you have to tovel aluminum pans, right? Et cetera, et cetera. Can you use a disposable cup for kiddush, et cetera. Now, okay, the oil was makel on that, but maybe that's because that's not totally on Kabbalah's Toma. That's totally on some other getter.
What was it about not? Doesn't Mary said this about a base kibble?
What?
A piece of paper doesn't have a
base kibble.
Right.
But the Nodi Yehuda is machmer anyway because it's felt. Clothing doesn't have to have a base kibble to be tummy.
Is this paper like clothing?
Yes. I don't mean that you wear it, meaning that it's made out of combining fibers. And if you say, but it's not woven, felt is also not woven. When you combine fibers, that's mekabel toma. That was the Nodi Yehuda's big chiddush. Now, again, this might depend what you make it out of. It's, in his days, it might have been made out of woven linen more than in our days. It's made out of trees. But still, says the Igros Moshe, he says, but disposable, disposable paper is not mekabel toma, even aliba behanoda bihuda. Even the Yehuda, who was the one who was machber, who started saying that paper, now that they make it out of pulp and a felt making process similar to felt making, is mekabel toma, he meant permanent paper. He didn't mean our disposable paper. Disposable paper products are not mekabel toma. Halacha l'maisa, we agree with the Igros Moshe. Therefore, we assume, I'm not saying everyone does, but most posts agree with the Igros Moshe, and therefore assume that tissues and toilet paper, whatever you wipe after going to the bathroom, etc., are not mekabel toma because they are disposable paper products, and a disposable paper product is not a kli. Even if a sheet of paper, we'd be machmer on. A sheet of paper would be a big machlokas, maybe we'd be machmer like the Nodi Yehuda. If you were to kesem on a book made of paper or something, but that's obviously very, very uncommon. But a tissue or toilet paper, we assume, is not mekabel toma.
So the pad that everything said was also as because he felt there was a re'iyah?
Yes, correct. How about feminine hygiene products? So there are two types of feminine hygiene products that women use to absorb the dam vida or other color discharges, for comfort and cleanliness, etc. One type of feminine hygiene product is a tampon. A tampon you insert inside ba'osel makom. It's long, you insert ba'osel makom and it absorbs a lot of dam. A tampon, it doesn't matter if it's mekabel toma or not, because since that's inserted inside, that's a bedika. And a bedika, we assume, is a re'iyah, not a kesem. So any blood in the tampon asers, as long as it's red, because the tampon is a bedika. It's not usually shy the rabbis ever get, because women only use a tampon when it's the mamish their period. You're not allowed, it's not a law, it's just like, it's a toga. You're not supposed to use a tampon unless it's going to get very soaked. So women only use a tampon when their period's flowing, so then they never have any shilas. But theoretically, if a woman inserted a tampon and had one tiny drop of red, the tiniest drop of red, she'd be tmei, because that's a bedika. The more common case is, what we've seen, is pads that stick on to the underwear. Panty liners are called the thin ones that are not meant to be used when you have your period. They just absorb a little here and there. And then pads are the jargon for the thick ones that you can use when you have your period and are very absorbent. So those are disposable paper products. There are supposed to be some of them have cotton inside, some of them don't.
even though I'm the cotton inside, I'm not sure if the cotton is actually made into a felt-like product or not. Maybe it is. Lamaisa, they're clearly disposable products. You wear them once and then you throw them in the garbage. No one ever reuses them. And you can say, when you reuse them, I wear them for 5 minutes and I keep wearing them for more time. Okay, but you don't take them off and put them back on. You don't take it off your underwear and put it back on. Or put it on another pair of underwear. You just throw it in the garbage and take a fresh one. So we assume that those pads and panty liners are not mekabel toma halach lemaisa. It's machlokas. We assume they're not mekabel toma based on the Igros Moshe. Because they're disposable, so they're not kelim. They're not mekabel toma. They, again, just like we don't tovel or lumen pants, if we're going to use them once and throw them out. So, because it's not mekabel toma. So here we assume it's not mekabel toma, which means that if a woman has a kesem on a pad or panty liner, even if it's red and even if it's more than a gris, it's still okay because of the davar she'ena mekabel toma. And even if it's white, which most of them are, almost all of them, it's still okay because it's not mekabel toma. There are those who are machmir, but lemaisa were mekel. The tricky part of the pads of the pads is that all these kulas, if it's a kesem, not if it's a flow. If it's a flow, then that's a different story. Then any flow that's red, it doesn't matter if it's a mekabel toma or not. It doesn't matter any of these things. So you have to know how to distinguish. That's mainly where the shaila comes up. A woman has a pad with a red on it. Is that a flow or is it a kesem? If it's a kesem, so it's any mekabel toma. Shkoyach. Shalom Yisrael. If it's a flow, then it's a problem. How do you know what's a flow and what's a kesem? That is one of the biggest issues that rabbis are trying to clarify nowadays. Once upon a time, that wasn't a big issue. Before they had these products, so if a woman found something in her underwear, if it was more than a, it didn't come up so much. Because if they found it on their clothing, it was mekabel toma. What if they had colored clothing? I don't know. I'm not sure what they did once upon a time. But anyway, lemaisa, that's the big issue. A rule of thumb is, many poskim say, if it's bigger than a credit card, but of course it depends how deep. There's a difference between a panty liner and a pad. A panty liner is not so thick. A pad is very thick. It's meant to absorb. A pad is meant to absorb a flow. A panty liner is not meant to absorb a flow. So generally, when you have, a panty liner, only if it's exceptionally full, would it really start to look like a re'iyah in a pad? Okay, so one has to develop a little judgment and be a little careful to make sure that it is not a flow, as we saw today. As we saw today with Rabbi David. But that's the basic part. I know some people say, if a woman feels she needs to put in a pad instead of a panty liner, that's already, suspicion of a flow. Because that's the normal therapy will do. Although, of course, it could just be, I know that's what she had in her pocket, so she put it in. You never know. Okay, but that is in terms of paper products. This is 99% of all cases, is this shiloh of paper products. What are some other things that come up that are not as much... So, again, some people are machmir just in terms of the pads. If you want to know the modern day poskim, Rav Vosner and Shevet Alevi is machmir on pads. Rav Avad Yosef is makel on pads. The lemaisa are very willing poskins to be makel on pads. That's not mekabel toma, and therefore, as long as it's not a flow, you're okay. Some of the other issues that come up that are a little less common but could come up. The big issue is plastic. This is a big issue we call it Torah Kula, is plastic mekabel toma. Meaning, when Mashiach comes, which Meretz Hashem will be Heruv Yameinu, when Mashiach comes, this will be the biggest shaila in the world, right? We can make almost everything out of plastic nowadays. So I don't know, meaning this is beyond my pay scale. But what are we going to do about Toma V'Tara when Mashiach comes? It's going to be really crazy to have to rework the entire world based on everyone being tummy and touching everything which touches something, etc. Right? So what did they do in the time of Bayis Sheni? You ever been to the burnt house, etc.? What did they do? All the people who really had to keep Tum V'Tara near the Beis HaMikdash,
They tried to only use canon that were Makabel Toma, and that way they didn't have to worry about every single person who was a Valkyrian, who was a Nida, who was a Yoledis, and who was a this, and who was a that. So that's why they had expensive stone kalim instead of pottery kalim in the Kohanim's, rich Kohanim's house in the Beit Shean. You can see that nowadays in the Old City, in the burnt house, and the other museums. So it's a big question. Is plastic Makabel Toma or not? That would be an ideal solution, right? By the time Mashiach comes, even if it's this week, we can make almost everything out of plastic. So, you know, when Mashiach comes, instead of everyone who ever wants to go to the Beis HaMikdash having to ask everyone on the street who's a Nida and who isn't, just make everything of plastic, and then you'll be okay, because it doesn't matter who touches it. Right? Good solution. So is plastic Makabel Toma or not? We can't find the answer with Rosh Hashas, because plastic was only invented, you know, like in, I think, in my parents' lifetime. Or at least modern-day use of plastics. Certainly in the last couple generations. So this is a big machlokes. Is plastic Makabel Toma or not? Basically, al pi the Chazon Ish, they assume. The Chazon Ish is not so foolish, but al pi the Chazon Ish, let's call it the sheet of the Chazon Ish, says that it's not Makabel Toma. It's not Makabel Toma. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Igros Moshe, says that it depends what it's made of. Meaning the plastic keeps the din of whatever the plastic was made of. Plastic is made of something, right? You can't find plastic in nature. There's no like plastic mines or plastic farms, right? What do you make plastic out of? So Moshe says, if you make it out of trees or vegetation, if you make it out of plants, then it's kli eitz. And when is a kli eitz Makabel Toma? If? It has a base kibble, right? If it holds something. So he says, if it's made of plants, then it's Makabel Toma. If it's a receptacle, right? Receptacle means something that has a base kibble. If it's made of, most of them are made of petroleum, of oil, like from the oil wells. If it's made of oil, petroleum, then ain't no Makabel Toma. Because the oil from the oil wells is not Makabel Toma. Lemaisa, all of our plastics nowadays are made from petroleum. They're not made from plants. Once upon a time, they made like rubber out of, you know, tree sap or whatever it was. Nowadays, so Lemaisa, nowadays we assume rubber, plastic kalim are not Makabel Toma. Okay, that'll be very useful when Mashiach comes. Lemaisa, halacha lemaisa, doesn't make a difference because we don't make any rubber. None of our plastics are made out of plant material nowadays. So there's no machlokes to Moshe and the Masorah from the Chazon Ish. So plastics, now anything made of plastic is not Makabel Toma. Here we have a big machlokes. What if you make clothing out of plastic? Anyone ever heard of clothing made of plastic?
Mesh.
All synthetic clothing is made of plastic, right? Rayon, polyester, anyone, any other?
Nylon.
All these things are plastic. So what about synthetic fabrics, synthetic clothing, right? I don't know. Most of our clothing is probably made of either wool. Well, most of our clothing is made of cotton, some of wool, and a few things of linen. That's what most of our clothing is made out of. But a decent amount of clothing is made of synthetic fibers. So what about clothing made of synthetic fibers? It is a tremendous machlokas. Why? Because maybe the fact that it's a beged overrides the fact that it's made of something that's not Makabel Toma. Maybe a beged is always Makabel Toma, no matter what it's made of. Right? So this is a big machlokas. If you want to see, there's many, many shitas. I actually have a sefer downstairs on my desk. I should have brought it up, called Chok Uzman, written by the son of someone who used to learn the Kollel about 10 years ago. The son is like older than your parents. He was a very distinguished fellow who learned the Kollel many years ago. He like went back for smicha when he was like, I don't know, 80 or something. So his son wrote a very nice sefer. It has tremendous essays. It's all about like modern issues in Hilchos Nida. And he has tremendous essays in all these Kabbalist Toma, quoting all the Svaras and everyone. If you want to borrow it, you can find it. You know, or some of the modern day books, like they summarize in like one paragraph. Just some of the shitas in terms of synthetic fibers. The Minchas Yitzchak says that anything that's a beged is Makabel Toma. However, the Shevet HaLevi says no. Shevet Halevi says, if it's made of something that's not Mekabel Tumah, it's not Mekabel Tumah.
He says everything that...
Any Beged is Mekabel Tumah, no matter what it's made of.
Is it a Beged? You mean, is it called a Beged?
Anything woven. Anything woven.
Woven.
Anything like woven.
Some things are molded.
Some things, but it depends. Like, sometimes you have ponchos that are molded. Clothing, they make polyester clothing and rayon clothing, yeah. Don't they? That's woven,
dry
obviously.
Yeah.
So dry fit is woven, right? But only ponchos really are, like, molded. I don't know, maybe raincoats. You ever see anything else that's synthetic that's not woven out of fibers? It's all woven out of fibers. So I don't know about raincoats, but at least what about fabrics? Let's call it a fabric, right? What about synthetic fabrics, which are all plastic? Synthetic plastic fabrics. What about synthetic fabrics? The Minchas Yitzchak says it's Mekabel Tumah. Why? We did Beged. A Beged is Mekabel Tumah no matter what it's made out of. On the other hand, Shevet Halevi, right here in the beginning of Simchat Tzadi, Shiurei Shevet Halevi, says, ain't no Mekabel Tumah. Nope, if it's made of something, it's not Mekabel Tumah. It's not Mekabel Tumah, meaning it's only if it's made out of plant or animal sources that it's Mekabel Tumah. But if it's made out of plastic, then it's not Mekabel Tumah. Rav Moshe agrees.
Did they not consider it Beged?
That the din of Beged was only said about plant materials and animal and wool.
Is this not a Beged? Or is it not a Mekabel Tumah?
That doesn't matter.
No, because it's the other side of the tzitzis, Machlokes.
It is.
So I'm wondering if.
No, the tzitzis Machlokes is more complicated. It's not the same. Why? Because leather clothing is a Vada Mekabel Tumah, and leather Beged is a Vada Patur from tzitzis. So there's a big difference, because where Moshe's whole thing about the tzitzis has to do with the leather model, so you can't compare it to tzitzis. Tzitzis, because you can't compare it to tzitzis again, because leather is patur from tzitzis, but Mekabel Tumah. Okay, so if it's made from petroleum, obviously. Okay, halacha l'maisa, we assume that it is not Mekabel Tumah, we assume synthetic fibers are not Mekabel Tumah, but it's always tricky to use this l'maisa, because a lot of things have combination of fibers and not purely synthetic. And if it has a combination of fibers, it would be a problem. So it doesn't come up a ton. It doesn't come up a lot. Because usually some are in underwear, and underwear is never made of synthetic fibers because it's not breathable enough or soft enough or whatever exactly it needs to be. It's just the technology is not there. But theoretically, we can make a lot of synthetic garment if it was purely synthetic. But you have to be careful because you have to read the label very carefully. Okay, that is in terms of some things that are Mekabel Tumah that are not Mekabel Tumah. Let's just, before we summarize, finish up Sif Yud. Okay? Everyone, the end of Sif Yud. V'chein kesem shenimsa al beged savua tahora. Likewise, kesem found on a colored beged is tahora. The word goes on a colored beged. Why not? So I said, this is sort of assumed. Because in the old days, they knew the exact colors, and it's hard to tell the color on a colored beged. And therefore, they didn't want to be gozer when it would always be a suffix. Right? Where they can be gozer. You never tell what color it is because it's on a colored background. So how do you know exactly? So they can be gozer on a case which is a suffix. Nah, they're only gozer on a vaday on white. So they weren't gozer on colored clothing. So even if you happen to know with vaday that it's red blood, once they weren't gozer on colored clothing, they weren't gozer on colored clothing. This is taka machlokes tanoim. And Rishonim, and a little bit Achronim, right? It's a machlok stanoim between Rabbi Nassan and the Chachamim. I don't know if there's no name for whoever is against Rabbi Nassan. So here you have a beged savua. Agav, it's a dover, all the poskim assumes a dover posha that says a beged savua tahora. On a guf that's different colors, right? Jews can be all different color skin. They're all equally good Jews. On a guf, no matter what color it is, they were gozer tumas ksam. So it doesn't matter if you're white, brown, or black, they were gozer tumas ksam on the guf. But on a beged, they were only gozer on a white beged, not on a color beged. And this is Rabbi Nassan, who says lo gozru, versus the Chachamim, who said gozru. Rabbi Nassan is most Rishonim. Who are most Rishonim? The Rambam they quote here, and the Rashba, and the Rush, and etc. The Rambam, and clearly most Rishonim, the Rashba, the Rush, Rov Rishonim. Not all Rishonim agree, or the Ramban is not so clear. It sounds like the Ramban might just pass on like the Chachamin. That Gus Maimonio said that this is, you have all of this someplace in the Dugomir Vava and in the Pisle Tshuva Sifkatan Chaf Aleph, quoting the Dugomir Vava. He actually does a good job of quoting most of the Dugomir Vavas. This is Ramban, and this is the Rabbeinu Simcha. It's really Lamaisa. What do I mean by Lamaisa? Rabbeinu Simcha really goes with Kodak Rav Nassim, but Rav Nassim never meant it. So Lamaisa is like that Shita. The Ramban seems like Pasuk like Chachamim, he doesn't really say terribly much. But Rabbeinu Simcha says, we hold like Rav Nassim never meant Shita Hora. He just meant the beggar is tougher, not the woman. But Lemaisa, Rabbeinu Simcha Lemaisa agrees with this. The Ramban seems to pass like the Chachamim. Halach Lemaisa, here we have the Bechaver. He passes very clearly. Let Hakel, the Dogomer Vava on the side, says, he quotes, the Hagos Ma'unah is quoting Rabbeinu Simcha and the Ramban. It's probably Tosofer. It's probably quoting the Ramban. Then he says it also the Ramban. But probably he was quoting in the first place Rabbeinu Simcha and the Ramban. Ramban, Ravan. Very easily get mixed up by scribes. Lemaisa Dogomer Vava is Machmir. But that's the Nun Yehuda. Dogomer Vava is Machmir. But the Pisrei Tshuva points out that the Tshuva Me'ava, which is the Talmud of the Dogomer Vava, and all the other poskim are Mako. We are clearly Mako on colored. And we are clearly Mako uncolored, and let's look at the Rambam. Lefika tilba she'isha bigdei tzivonim kedei latzila miksamim. Here he's quoting the Rambam. A woman should wear colored clothing in order to be saved from tumas ksamim. Right? It's funny, usually you'd say, don't take advantage of a loophole. No, here Chazal told us, do take advantage of a loophole. This is a loophole, Chazal, the Rambam says, you're chayav to take advantage of. A woman should wear colored clothing in order to be saved from ksamim. Meaning, ideally, a woman should have colored, in those days it meant all colored clothing, because you never know where the blood could go, and colored sheets on your bed, etc. Nowadays, we'd say, a woman should have colored underwear in order to be saved from Tumas Ksamim. It's not as easy as it sounds. A lot of underwear has extra padding at the crotch, which is always white. So, but if you find colored underwear, you should always try to buy colored underwear. That way you avoid shilas of Tumas Ksamim. I mean, it has to be colored in the right part of the underwear. The same would be true of other things, like, you know, how about a towel, right? Meaning, what else are you not wearing your underwear, right? So let's say a towel. You should have a colored towel, not a white towel. Because it will save you from Tumas Ksamim. This is very controversial. Let me just point out that in the Pisgei Tshuva at the end of Chaf Aleph, he quotes a Chumra from the Chassam Sofer, who says that the kula of colored is only for your skirt, not for underwear. Which basically takes away the kula of colored. No one is choshish for that. We assume the color of kula of color is across the board, not like the Chassam Sofer's of Shara, that it depends if it's a skirt or underwear. No, we assume across the board it's a kula of color. Okay, anyway, here this is very controversial. Why is it controversial? Because the Gemara explicitly says, do you think that Chazal commanded you to wear color to be saved from Ksamim? No, Chazal were matir wearing colored garments to save yourself from Ksamim. This is a big kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam says that you should. Chazal told you to. But it's not true. The Gemara says Chazal permitted you to. So did they permit you? Or did they tell you to? So here, the Beis Yosef points out that It could be you can make a pshara. Maybe what the Rambam meant is not that Chazal commanded you to. That would be against the Umar, which says Chazal permitted. Maybe what the Rambam meant is that it's good advice to do it. It's not a religious obligation. It's just good advice. And then that's not against the Gemara. The Gemara meant it's not a religious obligation, it's just a heter. Once the heter, it's good advice. So if you want to know, how about wearing colored? Is it a heter, which is the pshat of the Gemara? Or is it a chiyuv, which is the pshat of the Rambam? Says the Beis Yosef, he wants to get the Rambam to shtim with the Gemara. We paskin like the Beis Yosef, right, who says, no, the Rambam's right, and he's not against Pshat of the Gemara. It is an Eitzah Tova. It's not an obligation. You don't have to. You can do whatever you want. It's just good advice, too, which is that fits the Gemara and the Rambam. The Rambam says you should. He doesn't mean you should because it's a order from the rabbis. He meant you should as a good advice. And that fits the Gemara. The Gemara says mutter. Once it's mutter, it's good advice to do it because it'll save you from summon. So that's we paskin like the Beis Yosef. That this is meant as an Eitzah Tova. If someone says, no, I don't want to be saved from summon, then they're not doing anything hashkafically wrong. They're not going against the Das of Chazal. However, it's good advice, they should. Okay, so am I said, everyone should be a pikeach and take the good advice.
Are we assuming this is also the Shevnikim?
Ah, so in the Pesach Chovas of Chuvas of Kotten Kof Beis says, the Sefer Amudei Kesef Ksav Yad Kosov Azem Niradavka Til Bashtamid. We get a Hatzav Meini Dosu Meili Buna Lo. And maybe even the first 3 days it'll be usher. Okay, that far we don't get. So he says he's going to discuss this more in some Kuf Tzarivav when he discusses the Shiva Nikiyam, but says the Pesach Chuvah, according to Sefer Amudei Kesef, which was not yet printed in his days, I don't know if it's been printed since then, he says that, no, this hatter is when you're Becheskes Tara, so why do you have to mess yourself up when you're Becheskes Tara? But during Shiva Nikiyam, the whole point of Shiva Nikiyam is to make sure that you're staying clean and to check for any possible chash. So during Shiva Nikiyam, you have to wear white to not be saved from summon. The whole point of Shiva Nikiyam, you should be checking a lot. One of the ways you check is doing bedikas. One of the ways you check is by looking at your clothing to see if there's any summon or not. This is very controversial. I just want to correct if I made a mistake. Give me half a second. I apologize. This was not the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef did not say this. Beis Yosef gave different answers. This is the Torah Sashlamim right here. Okay, so please fix your notes. This is the Torah Sashlamim's answer. Says the Torah Sashlamim here. In Yudalid. The Rambam right. Fika thinking chavim etc. Fisha Beis Yosef matmiel devarish kasul loshen tikin luchor neged mashmas hashas. And even though Yosef gave dachig answers, the Rav said Rak didn't say tiknu, just said she should to make it an Eitzah Tova. So he says that the Torah Sashlamim says an Eitzah Tova. Okay. It wasn't the Beis Yosef, sorry.
That's just saying that it's...
That's not saying what you should wear, just what if it happens. Okay, apologies. Now, the what about... what about during Shiva Nikiyam? So Lemaisa... Lemaisa, the Pesach Chuvah Chav Beis has two chumras. First, he says you're not allowed to wear sivonim during Shiva Nikiyam. Okay, that we accept. You're not allowed to wear sivonim during Shiva Nikiyam. When we get there, we will see that there are some poskim who are mekel, and halacha lemaisa in a shas of chak sometimes we're mekel to wear sivonim during Shiva Nikiyam. You know. When it's a big shasat chak, sometimes Rav Meikle gets the simudei kesef to wear tzivonim during Shiva Nikiyam. The second chumra of this. So the first chumra is you're not allowed to wear tzivonim during Shiva Nikiyam. We accept that, But we'll see that sometimes there is room to be makel in rare circumstances. And we'll get to it. The second point, which he says, see what I'm going to see later on, is that he says, maybe in the first 3 days, kesem is tamei on colored garments. Like even b'dieved, not l'chachila. That's a big chumrah. The first 3 days of shemini kiyum, kesem on colored is tamei. That's what he calls the mudi kesef. L'maisa, no one agrees with that. The Pesachei Tshuva later on, Nitzim Kof Tzadi Vav, quotes Achronim who reject that, and no one is machmer like that. Okay, the last thing I just wanted, two last things I want to discuss is number one, what's cut? Yes?
Does anybody care to say that you're not allowed to, or that this pizza would apply?
No, he's saying you're not allowed to. He's saying you're not allowed to. He's saying you're not allowed to. Although you're right, the lashon is ambiguous.
Does that apply after the Ashek Tara before the nightfall?
That's a great, fascinating question. I think so. I think so, but I'm not going to say for sure. Okay. One question on this, what's white and what's colored? You know, what about pale colors, etc.? Okay, it's not all addressed in the, certainly in the Machronim on the Daf. We assume that a pale real color, like a pastel, a pink or a light blue, that's still colored, even though it's light. But an off-white or a beige, that's white. Meaning white doesn't have to be, you know, 100% the 100% pure white. It means, you know, white. You know, sometimes you have white clothing that gets a little, off-white over the years. That still counts as white. So off-white, a light beige is still white. But a real color, even if it's a pastel, would be considered colored. Okay, the last thing I want to discuss is Pesachei Tshuva, Sukkot, and Chof, and then summarize one point. The discussion of Il Tzedakah, we discussed it once, but I want to discuss it again. What if you have stripes? Or, there's another thing that comes up here someplace that I wanted to discuss, but I don't remember where. The thing about the pleats. Where are the pleats in the Pesachei Tshuva? That was a little earlier, right? Ah, here we are. Okay. So first, I apologize. I think I forgot to point out, could I just go back in your notes to the Shir of the Kegris? Sivkot and Tes Zayin discusses, what if you have a pleated garment? Pleated means it has folds. Right? Do I have any pleats? Even I have a few pleats in my garment. Right? You can't really see so well. What if right here, I have a gris? But if I were to separate the folds, then it wouldn't be a gris. It would be two kesems, each less than a gris. So it's on a pleated area of the garment, and the way it lands, it looks like a gris, but if you unfold it, you would break it in half, and it wouldn't be a gris. What's the din? Obviously, in a practical sense, it's a gris. But maybe formally, since when you unfold the pleats, it's two half grises, so maybe it would be okay. That's the discussion of Pesachei Tshuva Tes Zayin. I forgot to relate to that last time. The Binas Adam says that if it's not sewn up, like if you can actually unfold it, it's not sewed together, then it breaks in half and it is tahar. Lemaisa, the poskim don't agree with that. The Aruch HaShulchan and most poskim say, no. If it's a real fold, like it's a real pleated garment that it's ironed and that's the way it's supposed to be, then you have to look at it as it is. You can't unfold it to break it in half. You have to look at it as it normally lies. Okay, that's something I don't know how often it'll really come up, but in case it comes up, because usually our ksamim don't land on pleated garments. Let's go back to where we were. I want to discuss the Pesachei Tshuva Chaf. How about the question of a colored garment? So, what if you have, here's my stripe clothing, right? Stripe. Right. And here is my kesem. Right? It's going across different areas. Let's call this A, B, C, D, K, E, F, G, but nothing's yet. In case we decide to make another kesem. How do we judge the size of that kesem? So we mentioned this in terms of the Lumdus, that he quotes here from the Chavos Das, who says, says the Chavos Das, he says, nope, A, B, C, D, it's all Mitztarif. Oh, they were only gozer on the white parts, it doesn't matter. Because he thinks the point of a gegris is to pretend that we have lice. Like Elu, we had lice. The Misa, if the whole thing is bigger than a gegris, then it's not a louse. And since some of it's on white, it's tummy. So he thinks you count the whole thing towards the shear of a gegris. All mitzdarif, the shear, gegris, the ode. Why? Because if the whole thing is bigger than a kegris, then it can't be a louse.
What about the color?
What?
I mean, what about the color aspect? If it's on big, it's on
it. Aha, so he'd say like this. Some of it's on white, right? And we know it's not a louse, so it's tummy. I mean, if you view kegris as a tliya, not a shear, then you say, look, I have two ksamim on white, and I know they're not lice, therefore they're tummy. It could be the color is what makes me know it's not a louse. But I'm not being metame the part on the color. I'm being metame the part on the white. And I know it's not a louse. Even though the part on the white is less than a kegris, since I know it's not a louse, then I'm metame it. Which fits the lungus. I'm assuming lice is real tliya. The Me'il Tzedakah disagrees. Says the Me'il Tzedakah. He says no. He says A, C is mitzdarif. He says, no, it's a shear. Remember, he said it was a shear? It's just a shear of a kegris. So you count A and C together because those are the white parts. Right, Isaac? A and C are the white parts. But you don't count B and D. Why? Because he doesn't care whether it's really a louse or not. He cares whether you have a formal shear. Formally, only what's on the white counts. And therefore, you only count the white parts to the shear. There is a more makel shita that's not in the pistei tshuva. What's the more makel shita that's not in the pistei tshuva? The Tzemach Tzedek. In the name of the B'Shem Balatanya, meaning the author, relevant part here is not just the author of the Tanya, but the author of Shulchan Aruch Harav, right? He understands, meaning it's not 100% clear in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, but he understands that there's no seraph at all. Nope. You judge A individually and C individually. Meaning, says the Sumas HaLubavitcher's Paskin, says the Tzemach Tzedek, nope. You, each white part is separate. If this is less than a kegris, it's okay. If this is less than a penny, and this is less than a penny, it's okay. Even if the two whites add up to a penny. Mil Tzedakah says, no, don't go that far. You have to add up all the parts that are in white. If all the parts that are in white add up to more than a penny, it's a problem. And the Chavos Das says, add up the whole thing if it's more than a penny, it's a problem. Halacha L'maaseh, how do we paskin? Ad Hayom Hazeh, there are different Rabbanu paskin different things. I've met a few Rabbanu paskin who like the Tzemach Tzedek, but we assume the middle shita of the Mil Tzedakah. We assume you add up whatever's on the white, and if that is more than a kegris, then it's a problem. If that is less than a kegris, or exactly a kegris, then it is okay. That's how we paskin. If you want to look at the Tzemach Tzedek, it's I think it's like here on this siman. Okay, so that's our minhag is like the Me'il Tzedakah. A similar issue comes up. Rabbi Yehuda Eger here, he makes the sushtal, right? He paskins like the Me'il Tzedakah also. Rabbi Kiva Eger agrees with the Me'il Tzedakah and then makes a, what's a sushtel? An extrapolation. He extrapolates to a very similar case. What is the similar case? The similar case one could have been mechalik, but we mentioned it earlier. What if you have, it's on a white band? That's not the issue. But the issue is, what color is the mara? Okay, I don't have a yellow one. Say, green equals yellow, right? You have a big yellow mara, and in it, you have some spots of red. This is, by the way, a very common thing, right? You'll see, this is very common. You'll see ksamim. Ksamim, it's all yellow, light brown, whatever, or, you know, and then there's a few reddish parts in it. What do? You have the same three shitas, right? You have the exact same three shitas. You could say, the Chavos Das says the same thing. You could say, no, if the whole thing is more than a kegris, then it's not a louse, then it's a problem. Meaning if it looks like it came together. The Rabbi Kiva Eger says, right here, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no, you add up all the red parts. And there are those who are makel, say each red part is separate. Lamaisa, we say the same thing. We assume this is an equivalent issue, which means that we hold all the red parts are mitzarif. So if you have a kesem, which is unbroken brown, but there's some red in it, what do? You add up all the red parts and see if it's bigger than a penny, then it's usser. And if all the red parts together are smaller than a penny, then it's mutter.
Why is it so upset? Like, why would it be worse than it was just white? I mean, why would the colors, like, split it up?
Because what's on the color doesn't count halachically, and therefore they're two separate ksamim.
Right, but why can't you add them separately? I mean, if it was on white and they weren't touching each other,
then you wouldn't add them up.
Then you wouldn't.
If there's no yellow.
Right, if there's no yellow, you wouldn't. Remember we said that we paskin, right, like the Ravid and the standard saying you're showing Ashkenaz against the Rashba on one side and the Rambam on the other side, on the body you add them up. Okay, so therefore if there was a break in between, then they wouldn't add up anymore. Right? Because then we don't add up different spots on clothing. But if they're joined together by the yellow or brown part, then that joins them together and you have to add up all the red parts. That's what Rikki Baker says, and that's the minute. Okay, let's just review, right, one of the biggest, yes?
Can the Chavos Das still be makel in that case? Because if you don't have any blocks to figure out the grist, then it's not...
Right, so the Chavos Das happens, he's not quoted by anyone in this case, you have to go to the back. He happens to be machmer in this case, and they make it equivalent. You could differentiate. You could say, no. You could, I mean, the Chavos Das happens to be machmer in this case. Right. But you could say, I hold like the Chavos Das about this case, because here I'm sure it all came from one place. But over here, maybe it didn't all come from one place. Maybe the different colors came from different places. And then, why would I add them together? But the Chavos Das himself, he's not in the Pesach where Rabbi Eger, but I thought I looked it up in the back and he said it. The Chavos Das himself was machmer. And he says, no, you assume it's all from one place. It just came out like a borderline color, and it came out in different colors. Right? That's the Chavos Das himself. But I hear you're smart. Probably there's some achor who says this, just I didn't pay attention to who. I thought. Yes. Chay nira de machetzi akesem kigrisi yishlo maritor mechetzi maritome v'nikashu kesem echad ditmea. The Chavos Das, he says, only if it's nikashu kesem echad, only if it looks like it's all came together. So the Chavos Das would be machmir. If it looks like it came together, then it's not a louse, you're machmir. Although, he's right, not only if it looks like it came together. The Mil Tzedakah would say, I don't care if it came together or not. Formally, only the red parts add up to the shear, add them up. And the Tzemach Tzedek might say that no, each red one is different. And we pass like the middle sheet, so like the Rabbi Kiva
Eger. What if, like, there was a, like, if she was, the region on a pad, there was, like, a fold in the pad when she was wearing it. So when she takes it out, there was, like, a break in between, but it definitely came from one place.
Ah, what if it was a fold when she was wearing it and then it came apart? So that's the machlokes. The Binas Adam in some kind of design that I just mentioned, Chachmas Adam, whatever I called it, would be Mekel. You'd say, once you unfold it, they're separate. But the Orcha Shulchan would be Machmer on that. That Lachora would be Machmer.
Would that be different because it wasn't like meant, it's not pleated, it wasn't meant to be like that?
I'm not sure, but I think we'd be Machmer. If it was Burr that that's what it was, then I think we'd be Machmer.
Like, you know, they were so good, always like stretch a garment a little bit and then separate.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe if it was borrowed, that's how it was lying at the time, we'd be machmer, I think. Another fascinating question, by the way, I haven't seen any of the classic poskim, but I've seen in some modern discussions. Sometimes you could have colored clothing, but like inside there's another added padded layer of white. Like probably in the lapel of your suit jacket, like it's colored on the top, colored on the bottom, but white on the inside that you can't see without cutting it open. Now, you're not going to have a kesef in your suit jacket. That's an interesting question. What if you have something, sometimes they make black panty liners, but inside, black on top, but underneath it where you can't see without cutting it, there's something white. Do we have to cut it open to see if there's a kesef on the white? So, Rabbi Willig says no. Rabbi Willig says, you only judge by how it looks to you, not by if you have to cut it open. I could see someone disagreeing with that. Okay, let me just summarize the halachas of if you find very common shayla. Let's just remember all our halachas. If you find on different places, what's the din? If you find on a tampon, that's called a batika, that's a problem. Another common case, what if you find on a diaphragm? What's a diaphragm? A diaphragm is something that puts all the way inside, but also lakum, up to the opening of the rechem. That's a form of birth control. And what if she takes it out and finds blood on it? So that's also a bedika, because that was inside. So that would be always tameh, have no kulos of ksamim. The only question is, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this, and he says, but you always have to check if it might have been a makkah, because it, since it's a hard thing, it's very common that when you put it in, that when you take it out, it could cause a scratch. So you'd have to analyze whether you had evidence of a makkah. But otherwise, it is a re'iyah, not a kesem. So anything that goes inside, a bedika cloth also goes inside, right, is a re'iyah, not a kesem. The man's aver, since it went inside, is a re'iyah, not a kesem. That is pashat. Anything that goes inside is a re'iyah, not a kesem. And there's no room to be made. The only question is it red or not red? On a bedika cloth, if it's not red, it's not red. But if it's red, there's no kulas. It's a re'iyah, not a kesem, right? So, re'iyah means if there's red, then there's no kulos. Anything that goes inside. That's why in the bedika cloth, we don't ask, is it mekabel tumah, which it probably is, but we don't ask, actually, not so pasha, it's made of cotton, and it's a small shear, but we don't ask if it's mekabel tumah. We don't ask if it's bigger than a gris or not, right? Anything that goes inside is a re'iyah, not a kesem. B, anything that is a flow, right? So even if it's on a pad, if it's lard and it's a flow, then that's a re'iyah, not a kesem, because we assume that's the film hargasha nowadays. C, anything blood found right after Tashmish, that's controversial. But remember, we started soon coinciding with this. We assume that's a shash re'iyah, because there might have been hargasha that wasn't noticed because of Tashmish, that felt like Tashmish. And therefore, any blood found right after Tashmish, we considered a re'iyah, not a hargasha. And that's why it's so chomer to have a ruah machbas Tashmish, because we're considering that a re'iyah. We're not considering, sorry, a re'iyah, not a kesem, not a kesem. The controversial part is blood found right after urination, that, remember, we said was controversial. That was controversial. And that was a big machlokas, whether that's called a re'iyah or whether that's called a kesem. If it's called a re'iyah, there's no kulas at all. If it's called a kesem, then it's very easy to find kulas. Maybe the toilet paper's colored. Maybe it was less than a gris. And in any case, toilet paper isn't mekabel tumah. So, let's just review the halachos of blood found on toilet, or a kesem found on toilet paper. A stain found on toilet paper used after wiping. So, how about a stain on toilet paper? So, if you hold that Manda Omar, like, who do we quote? We quote the Chavos Da'as, right? Chavos Da'as V'od, say it's a re'iyah, and therefore, if red, then she's asura. no questions asked. Right? If you hold, like the Chavosh Das and others who say that it is a Re'iyah, if you assume, like the Kreis Uplasi and Pashtos, the Maskana of the Sivrei Tara and the Chazon Ish and others, let's put the Chazon Ish and others, that this is a din of a kesem, there's no chashash hargasha, then it will depend what you hold. Right? If you hold that it's Mekabel Toma, or if you hold like the Igros Moshe, who says not Mekabel Toma. If you hold the Igros Moshe that it's not Mekabel Toma, then she's Muteris. Doesn't matter, it's not Mekabel Toma. If you hold like the R sheet of the toilet paper is Mekabel Toma. There is such a sheet, even though it's not how we hold. I don't know if I wrote down any. Okay, right. But if you hold that it is Mekabel Toma, then, okay, you don't really have room to continue this, but let's just pretend this is written there. Then you would say, if it's white, if it's colored, she's Muteris. If it's white, then if it's Kigris Ve'od, she's Asura. And if it's Pachos, then she's Muteris. So what do you see here? You see that, what do we see from this flowchart? A, it's always better to not look. That way you don't get into all these shilas. B, if you are going to look, it's better to count to 15 before wiping. Once you count to 15 before wiping, the Chavos Das doesn't apply, and already it's a kesem. And once the kesem, then it's maximum draw button anyway, and there's much room to be made though. And that's what we mentioned previously. And C, even if it's a kesem, we pass it not Mekabel Toma. If you have colored toilet paper, that's even a bigger... Oh, I forgot something. Nope. If you hold toilet paper with Mekabel Toma, then it's potential kesem. Or if you hold like the Sidrei Tara, your hand is Mekabel Toma and your hand has Tomas Masa. So there are shitas that would say either toilet paper is Mekabel Toma or your hands is Mekabel Toma. We don't paskin that way. We paskin like the Chazon Ish reluctantly, meaning preferably don't make us have to paskin like the Chazon Ish. And we paskin like the Igros Moshe even not reluctantly. But if you have colored toilet paper, it's even better, because then, no matter whether it's bigger or smaller than a grist, no matter what you hold about Mekabel Toma and Tomas Masa, then once you pass like the Chazon Ish that it is a kesem, if you have colored toilet paper, you don't have to worry about all the other machlokos. So it will be a little bit of a hitter to have colored toilet paper, but the Iker we're comfortable poskening that it's not Mekabel Toma like the Igros Moshe, and no one really holds like this. So would it be a little hitter to have colored toilet paper in case it's called Kabbalah's Toma? Mekabel Toma, yes, but the Iker, that's not the biggest deal, because we really pass like the Igros Moshe. The most important thing, l'chadchila, more than a hinder, really what you should do is to try to avoid having to be makel against the Chavos Das, and either don't look, or which is psychologically impossible for most women, or count to 15 before wiping, which is psychologically possible, but not so compatible with the modern-day lifestyle, but maybe possible nonetheless.
The sheet of
That's going to the Nehun, assuming that you don't distinguish between disposable and reusable. And durable. That's the word, durable. Yes?
Is there any sense to say that because your hand's holding on to the paper, that
you're
not like you're holding on to it?
Not mitzad mamet, but mitzad the Sidrei Tara says, because your hand is mekabel tomas masa. But no, that's not called a mamet. Mamet is only if it's like built in for these purposes. Because even though it's not Mekabel Toma, that only helps you if it's a kesem. If it's a re'iyah, it doesn't matter if it's Mekabel Toma. So that's why, l'chadchila, we're choshish for the Chavos Das who says it's a re'iyah, try to avoid the shayla.
Every spending
amount of
15 seconds takes away the Chavos Das?
Ah, because if you wait 15 seconds, then by the rule of Chazaka, we assume that you didn't see the blood while you were urinating. You saw the blood after you were urinating. After you urinated, that wasn't the time you had hargasha. Okay, it's not
Yesh Lodim is a mochach, that svar is valid. You know, Yesh Lodim does a harbe, but lamais to the poskim assume. Okay. Now we're ready to go on. These are almost all the main halachas of Simon. Now, the rest of the Simon has a few other Nogia L'maisa halachos and some that are a little less Nogia L'maisa. Maybe we'll even go through it a little more quickly, even though they're very interesting things, but not things that come up a lot. So let's go to Sif Yud Aleph. Sif Yud Aleph. Lo b'chol makom she'yimtza sham kesem t'meya. Not every place you find the kesem t'meya. Basically, Sif Yud Aleph and on are really common sense. There's a few things wrong. Lomdash, and most of it is common sense. Meaning, if she finds a stain, it's only metame. If it's someplace it could have dripped there from the mokker. If it's impossible to drip there from the mokker, then it's not metame. Okay, let's see the examples. Keitzah, nimsa ala keva. If she finds it on her heel, it's tamea. Because her heel could be connected to the makor when she's sitting cross-legged. V'cheinim nimsa al kol urech shoka parsem b'fnim. Likewise, the inside of her legs, upper and lower legs, obviously could drip from the makor. V'ima mekomas ha nidbakum zebedeish tamo v'tidbak regal b'regal v'shok shok. How do you know it's called the inside? When you put your feet together like this, whatever's squeezed, touching the other leg. V'cheinim nimsa al rosh godal regleha. If it's found under a big toe, it could also drip from the makor under a big toe. Here we have a big machlokas. Again, all these things, why are all these things not super nogei l'maisa nowadays? They could be. I don't mean they're like you need a paraduma, theoretically. All these things could be nogei l'maisa, but now that we invented underwear, they're very rarely nogei l'maisa, because if you're wearing underwear, you can't find a stain anywhere but your underwear. Like, it could drip through your underwear, but it will also be on your underwear, right? Like, everything is blocked by your underwear, and usually it doesn't drip through if people are, you know, taking proper precautions. So, now it could come up. You know, it could come up and rear, you know, but not terribly likely because 99% of the time people are wearing their underwear and therefore it's not going to drip in any of these places. Okay, but let's see if we can get some klalim. Here, this is not a klal, but a detail. Adrama, the Gemara says on your big toe, v'kolshken or glamamish, and for sure on the rest of your feet. Here is a big achlok, is your big toe and friend, for sure the rest of your feet, or only your big toe could be connected to some makom, but the rest of your feet can't. Okay, it's hard to have a common sense intuition as to where the blood from the makor could drip on. This is a big machlokes. The Rama is machmer on this. The shach is. The Shach seems to agree. The Taz.
What's the
deal
with the rest of the toes?
What's the rest of the toes? So basically, I mean, the Ramah and the Shach are machmer on the whole foot. The Bach says no, only the part of the foot that's behind the big toe, not the part that's behind the other toes. And the Taz makes a pshara. He says, you have to be makor on the whole foot, but not on the other toes. Because the Ramah didn't say the other toes, he only said the whole foot. Okay, Mamaisa doesn't go off so much. How would we paskin? I don't know, the Taz Shlomo is makel on the other toes, like the Taz. So those are the three shitas. The Bach says only the big toe and what's behind it. The pshat of the Ramah is the whole foot, and the Taz makes a pshara, the whole foot except for the other toes. Okay, continuing. V'cheinim nimsa al yodeha. Likewise, it's on her hands. Afil al kishrei etzbaseha, even on her knuckles, not on her fingertips. Sheyadayim askanios heim b'shem enogu b'osu makom. The yadayim are askanios, and maybe they touch b'osu makom, and they point out, even if you're sure you didn't touch b'osu makom, maybe you touched beneath osu makom, and blood could have dripped on your hands. Right, this is one klal. There's a klal of Yadayim Askanios Heim. We know that klal is found in many parts of Kol HaTorah Kula. Klal Yadayim Askanios Heim, you have to assume your hands went everywhere. And even if she says, I didn't touch Osa Makom, it doesn't matter. So your hands went someplace on your legs, which is right below Osa Makom, and it could drip on it. Again, in the days before underwear. Avalam nimsa al shokevi al parsel tzad chutz, but if it's found on the outside of her legs, or if you'll be at studim, studim here means, don't be confused, the front or back. right? The studim are the front or back, is the inside and the outside, and the studim means the front or back, then it can't drip there from the makor. The ain sarch lomer, the mali of makor, and for sure if it's found in the top half of her body, you can't go against gravity, then she is tahora. Okay, what's the principle involved here? Is there any chiddush in saying if you find blood someplace where your hands can't reach, if you find blood someplace that can't fall from the makor, your tahora? Is there any chiddush there? What's the chiddush? Hold on. Yadayim askan yosheim. Yadayim could touch near osamakom. And yadayim could touch any other part of the body. That's part of askanios. So let's say you find it on the outside of your legs. But yadayim askanios, we do suspect yadayim touch near osamakom. We also suspect yadayim touch the outside of your legs. So maybe it got onto your hands and then you put it on the outside of your legs. And then you wash your hands so it's not on your hands. Why aren't we chosesh for that? What's the halachic principle? We're not machzik that tuma moved from one place to another. That's a principle. We're not machzik tuma moved from one place to another. We're also not machzik taru mimakom lemakom. We assume your hands might have touched the outside of your legs. We assume your hands might have touched near osa makom. But we don't assume a two-step process that your hands brought the blood from osa makom the outside of your legs, because there's a rule, we don't machzik that things move from one place to another through a two-step process. That's just a principle of ein machzik and tuma mimakom lemakom. That is explicit in the Taz of Katan Yud Beis and the Shafts of Katan Tes right here on this line of the Mechaber. So those are two principles so far, besides the practical thing as to which part of your legs it could drip on. One principle is your yadayim askan yosheim. And another principle, that's a principle of chumrah, another principle of kula is ein machzik in tumah mimakom le'makom. Okay, continuing, v'yodashin is dakra v'gbir raglel l'mala t'meya, if she knows she stood upside down, and she put her feet up and her head down, then even above the belt, because then gravity could have made it drip down to her upper body, because she was upside down at the time. Okay, most people don't turn upside down most days. But I don't know, maybe in those days they were more gymnastically oriented than we are. Or maybe it's just a theoretical case. Whether the front or the back it could drip on. Okay, now here we have another principle. Okay, we won't go through all the details here. But here's another interesting principle. Even if Avra B'shuk Shal Tabachim Modus Aska B'Ksamen, this is what's called later on a Tliya. Tliya means if she was near something else red and that could get you dirty, she can assume that's where her came from and she's Tahar. So let's say she finds on her white clothing, bigger than a Kegris, blood. Someplace it could have dripped from the Makor. But she was in the slaughterhouse. Again, not butcher like we say nowadays. Right? Butcher we say nowadays is no blood involved. Right? The slaughterhouse. They're not slaughtering animals. There's blood all over the place. Or nes aska b'ksamim. She was dealing with stains. Right? She was dealing with things that had red stains on them. Then we assume that it came from that she was spray painting things red or whatever it may be. Then we assume that it came from something else, or that it might have come from something else, and we are mako. However, if she finds it on her body, then okay, without getting to all the rishonim, then she's not mako. With dafkajint al basar levadol nintz al basar v'gam al kaluka im avr b'shuk shel tovach v'masas kuksam im tolavo bein shem to lamat mechagor oshik v'yorglea v'nimtz al mala mechagor. So let's just make a list of the principles we've seen. What are the principles we've seen? One principle is yadayim askan yosheim. Second principle is ein machzikin tuma or lo machzikin mimakom lemakom, doesn't matter. Mimakom lemakom. The third principle, this is not a principle, but you know, a rule, is that if dam is only al gufa and not on the clothing,
then even a tliya won't help.
If it's only on her guf and not on her clothing, whether it's on the top part of her guf and she turned upside down, or the bottom part of her guf in a stam case and not on her clothing at all, even if she has a tliya, it won't help. But medvar mum, well, when will the tliya not help? When will a tliya not help? She finds it only on her skin. If the tliya is outside of herself, like she worked with staining products or she went through the slaughterhouse. The tliya is also in her guf. She is a wound in her guf. She holds a little spot that she could be told. And if she over dam, the dam could have come from a wound in her guf, like a cut. Then told about her, she could be told when she's tahora. But however, if she could only be told on a maka if it's possible for it to drip there, if the maka is on her shoulder and the blood is on the inside of her thigh, it can't drip from your shoulder to the inside of your thigh. Therefore, she's not tola. Why not say she touched her shoulder and then touched the inside of her thigh? Because just like we're not machzik tuma maka l'makom, we're also not machzik taro maka l'makom. Right? A machzik tuma. Or Tara, what are you doing? We're not Masik Tara Mokum Mokum. If she has, let's say her cut's right here, and it can't possibly drip to the inside of her leg, and she finds blood on the inside of her leg, don't say maybe it's from the cut, because it couldn't have dripped there. Don't say maybe she touched the cut and touched her leg, because that's saying two-step process of Masik Mokum Mokum, and just like we're not Masik Tara Mokum Mokum, we're not Masik Tara Mokum Mokum, and therefore she's Tmeya.
Even if she finds a place on her skin that wouldn't be covered by clothing?
Yes, because how can it get from her shoulder to the inside of her leg? Like, there's no way that gravity could bring it there.
So, let's say she walked by the slaughterhouse and she finds blood, like...
So hold that thought. Okay. Sorry, that's what you meant. Yeah. Okay, now, even a tliya won't help. Say that again. Even a tliya... won't help... if the tliya is outside her guf. Now, instead of asking Effie's question, I'm going to ask just more theoretical question. Why? This is pretty mochri in the Gemara. I'm not going to go through the whole sugya. If you read the Beis Yosef, you went through the whole sugya. What is the svara? Why is this true? Why is this true? What's the svara? So, where is this? Okay, why is this true? This was I don't think it's found on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, but it's Yosei Kura Machloket. Someone tell me, Svara, why is this true? Why is this true that she can't be tola if it's on her clothing? She can be tola on the slaughterhouse. Clothing and skin, tola on the slaughterhouse. If it's only on her skin, she can't be tola on the slaughterhouse. Why not? So, what's one explanation, Isaac?
They would have had to get on her clothing as well.
A practical explanation, meaning it can't be that it's from the slaughterhouse and only got on her skin, not her clothing, because it would have had to get on her clothing.
In which case,
Effie would say, but if it's a revealed part of her body, then of course she could be tola, right? Then it's not referring to a revealed part of her body, only to a covered part of her body, right? That's what you have to say, right? And you have to figure out where to draw the line, you know, covered while sitting, covered while standing, you know, we could all work in a seminary now. But you'd have to figure out exactly where to draw the line. That is the shita of Tosos. And that's why Tosos says, hold on. If it's on her slip, we're tola. Slip is like something when we're under their skirt. So if it's on her slip, we're tola. How did it get there? So Tos says, no, because sometimes she could pick up her main skirt as long as she's wearing her slip, and the blood will get there. But she would never pick up her clothing and reveal her skin. That's princess. And therefore, it couldn't have got there from the slaughterhouse. That is Tosos. Tosos, as quoted in Beis Yosef, Tosos says, because practically... she wouldn't reveal her skin in public, right? The slaughterhouse is a public place, right? The assumption is we don't mean she slaughtered things, you know, at home wearing her, you know, shorts. No, she went to a slaughterhouse. She went out. You wouldn't go out in the street and reveal your skin. And it couldn't have come from outside without staining her clothing. If it's fine to her skin and her clothing, she could be tolled. Why? Because it stained her clothing and her skin. But how could it have come from outside when she's sneezed the girl and it only stained her skin and not her clothing? Nafkamina, of course, would be effi. If it was a revealed part of the body, then about she could be tolled, right?
Or she's not a sneezed the girl.
Or she's not a sneezed
the
girl.
No, so I guess the assumption is you're right. It's only talking about that kind of woman who wouldn't do this. You're right. We're not talking about someone who walks around in shorts and a tank top. Right? We're talking about someone who can do it. We're only talking about a case where that's how she acts. However, the Rashba says something a little different. It's a little unclear, but the Beis Yosef also seems to assume the Rashba says something a little different. Says the Rashba, he seems to view it as a little bit more of a formal svara. I hope I'm not reading too much into him. Says the Rashba, he says, no, since it's found on her guf, we assume it's from her guf. Okay. Where it's a little like kan nimtza kan hoya kind of thing. Remember we mentioned that Rashba earlier, right? So he says, since it's found in her guf chazak, it's from her guf.
Kind of like
since it's found. Now, if it would also be found in her clothing, then there's no chazak, it's from her guf, because part of it's found in her guf, part of it's found in her clothing, so there's no chazak. But since it's found on her guf chazak, that it's from her guf. We assume things come from where we see them. I could be an afgamina of this Rashba. It could be an afgamina of this Rashba who would say this is a big chiddush. Big chiddush. If you take this Rashba to an extreme, which I'm going to claim some achronim do, if you take this Rashba to an extreme, you get a big chiddush that even if she wears a short skirt and she finds on her legs, she shouldn't be able to be tola according to this, because if it's found in her guf, we assume it's from her guf. That would be a big finish if you take the Rashba so far. Right? So if we assume maybe this is what the Rashba meant, right? It's hard to tell. Like, did the Rashba really mean chazakat from her guf? Or did he really mean to say toslos? He just said it unclearly. He says, in these circumstances, it's more likely that it were, you know, it's not so clear. But the Rashba sounds like the formal rule, in which case, even if she, that would be a big finish. That would mean that anything you find only on your skin, you can't be tola on anything from the outside because it's only found in your skin. That would be a tremendous chumrah. Lemaisa, we would be mekel. Lemaisa, we're going to assume like Tosos. But that would affect, and maybe with this I will end, if you give me half a second, there's a strange taz here. Says the taz yodalad. V'chein in this aska mamish biyadeha v'ktamim tole afen nimsan yadeha. Tor B'Shem Rashba says that Taz, quoting the Rashba, now, this is not just a word-for-word quote, this is a quote and interpretation of the Rashba, he says, and if you dealt with red stains, you could be tola something on your hand. All the Achronim reject this Rashba, this Taz. They say, Taz, you are crazy. They say, all the Achronim basically walk up to the Taz and say, I don't know. Okay. We're not going to be disrespectful towards the Taz, right? If it wasn't the Taz, they would walk up and say, what are you even smoking, dude? But they walked up to the Taz and say, respectfully, Katana, Shol, Feirabo, how could you say such a radical thing? What's the implication of the Taz? What if it's a Stam case? She doesn't know she touched things. She can't be told to kiss them on her hands. They say, that's crazy. Yadayim Eskaniyo say. So they all say the Taz is crazy. What does the Taz say? You can only be told on your hands if you know that you touched that if you know that you handled, that's a good word for hands, that you handled red dirty things. They say that's crazy. Your hands go everywhere. You can be told on your hands if you walked in a slaughterhouse, you know. The Rasatz thinks you can't be told a slaughterhouse on your hands. Why not? L'chor the Taz is quoting the Rashba. He would work according to this radical idea of the Rashba. If it's a formal rule that anything on your head, body, you can't be told something off your body, because body comes from body and outside of body comes outside of body, then you can't be told your hands unless you knew that your hands touched red stains. But, so that could be one nafkamina would be, what if she's not fully dressed? The other nafkamina would be this crazy Taz. Maybe this is the Taz. The Taz says, you can't be tole hands, I don't mean your hands, I mean a stain on your hands, on a slaughterhouse. Oh, I walked through a slaughterhouse. Why can I be tole the stain of my clothing and not the stain of my hands? Aren't my hands always open? Which is basically Effie's question. It says, yeah, but if it's on the guf, you can't be tole them outside the guf. All the achronim reject him. And all the achronim say that's ridiculous. They say you can be tole hands on a slaughterhouse or any other kliya outside your guf, because, come on, your hands are revealed. And a revealed part of your body, of course you can be told on something chutz l'guf. So it could be that this is the machlokes thing, the Taz, so everything thinks it's crazy. Maybe he's not crazy. He just has this radical pshat of the Rashba. And everyone else is following the more commonsensical, intuitive, practical pshat of Tosfos. That's my pshat of the Taz. All the achronim don't give an answer for the Taz. They just say the Taz is wrong. But I think that the Taz isn't wrong. The Taz is just following a certain lundus that we don't paskin like. So the lundus of the Taz, that guf goes with guf. Therefore, even your hands, you have to attribute to your guf and not a slaughterhouse, unless you know that you touched red stains. But you can't be told your hands on something outside your guf unless you know 100%. Because chazakah, that was on your hands, comes from your body, because it's the same body. And everyone else says, no, it's not a very formal chazakah. Just practically, blood from outside your body can't get to hidden parts of your skin. But of course it can get to your hand and to revealed parts of your skin, which is why Rabbi Akiva Eger and everyone else disagrees with the Taz. Lemaisa, we disagree with the Taz 100%. We say, if you're walking any place where red is squirting around, then you can be told to stain on your hands and on the part of your body that's below your skirt and on your arms that are below your sleeves, just not on the covered parts of your body, because how could it have gotten in there? That's how we paskin. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Eger has another interesting discussion of all these other questions. What if you touched something blood, like, you know, bloody slaughtered chickens with your hands, and then you find a kesem on your inside of your legs and not on your hands? Can you assume you're dying with scumiosheim and you touch the inside of your legs and then your hands got wiped away? Or not. Okay, lots of shaylos here. We're not going to go into them. You can look at them. Maybe we'll pick up with Yud Beis and try to run through as quickly as we can. Amir Tzashem next time.
I mean, Rashba is just, if you have a suffix versus the chazakah, the chazakah is going to win.
If you know that you touched bloody things, then that's